Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ in Odessa, Texas. We're glad that you're here tonight. Get your Bible ready, take out your notebook and your pencil, and follow along. I know you'll be edified.
As we continue our study of the gospel of Christ, we're going to be looking tonight at the truth of the gospel. The word truth is an important word. Jesus is the foundation of the church, and he is the foundation of truth. He's the foundation of the glorious gospel. 1 Corinthians 3:11, Acts 4:12, both say there is no other foundation upon which we can build than Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Today there are so many places that are following some man-made way rather than following God's way, and we're going to talk about that more in just a minute. But when God sent his grace through Jesus Christ, Titus 2:11 and following, he said that we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we're to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Our society is doing none of the above. They don't know the truth. And today, if you stand up for the truth, they're going to try to cancel you. We've been trying to talk about that for a few weeks now. This cancel culture is an idea that says if you don't go along with the norm, then we're going to just make it where it's impossible for you to function. Well, you know what? We're not going to go along with the norm. And it doesn't matter what they say. Like we talked about last week, we need to have more courage. Yet we have a growing society that says, I can do what I want, when I want, how I want. No, you can't. You know, our society is in trouble. And the reason for that really goes back to this understanding of truth. So the question then is, what is truth? You know, Pilate asked that question too, John 18:35, mostly because he was a coward and he didn't want to stand up for what was right. But what is truth? Well, sometimes the word truth implies the word. Sometimes it implies the gospel and other things along those lines. But John 17:17 says, sanctify or set apart yourselves, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word records his truth. Now, that's not the entirety of the truth. It's what is revealed for us from the truth. We don't know everything that's true. We learn more things every day about truth and science. We learn more things spiritually as we grow and study. But there are many things we don't know. But what we do know spiritually has been revealed through God's word. In John 8:31 and 32, Jesus said, you're my disciples if you abide in the truth, in the word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We have to be people who go to the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, as Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, he talks a lot about truth, and we don't have time to deal with everything that he discusses, but I want you to notice verse 13. Ephesians 1 and verse 13, it says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The word of truth, the gospel of salvation, is what we hear when we are added to the church in obedience to the gospel, when we are sanctified and set apart. That gospel has to be heard in order for us to know and obey the truth. We often talk about Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth. We have to hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. Let's look over there at that one. I want you to see this one as well. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Many people have taught them, but how did they become Christians? It's when they heard the gospel. We've talked about that word gospel. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. What does that word gospel mean? Well, it's the word good news, the glad tidings. It is the good news that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And folks, the only way to be saved is through his truth, through his gospel. It is the power of God. That word power, do you remember? It's that word dunamis. We talked about that word. It's the word that's transliterated in our English language, dynamite. And remember the illustration? If I were to take that stick of TNT and hold it next to my chest and set it on fire, what happens to me? Big time change, right? And everybody in the front row and everybody in this building would be affected, and the neighborhood. And, you know, tonight at 10 o'clock, when the news comes on, they're going to start with, it hailed over here, the wind blew some tin off of this roof. Oh, and this crazy preacher in Odessa who blew himself up. Stay tuned for more. But first, let's talk about Demi Lovato, who wants to be called they. That's how the news program would go. Folks, the fact of the matter is, the gospel is what changes us. It changes us and it changes those around us. And if we will put it in our hearts, it will have that effect on the world. The reason why our world is in such shambles is too many of us aren't dynamite. We aren't taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. We stay to ourselves. You know, everybody always acts tough, but people really don't speak up. They might even retell it later like they spoke up, but they didn't say anything. People always act tough. I see it all the time in the workplace. People say, I'm going to tell that boss. I'm going to win that meeting that we're having next Friday. I'm going to say. And then the meeting comes around. Everybody sits on their hands and says nothing. People don't say anything. Listen, the only way the dynamite works is if we get it out there. And so we have to be people who understand that. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to notice verses 22 through 25. As we again think about truth, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, this beautiful passage talks about how we're saved and the medium through which we are saved. It says this, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How do you save your soul, Peter? In obeying the truth. We have to obey the truth. Through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flowers falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the Word by which the gospel was preached to you. The flower fades. The grass dies. Those of us that are in this room, we understand that, surely. The grass is green all over town. It'll be greener next week with this rain. But by mid-June, the color of grass all over West Texas and New Mexico is yellow. We know that. It doesn't have water. And as a result, when the sun comes up, it withers and dies. But the one who has the Word of God will abide forever. It provides us with the truth, the life-saving message, the gospel, the Word, which is able to save our souls. Not that it will, it's able to, but there are conditions that must be applied. We have to be obedient to it. So having said that, there are some things we want to talk about today with our time. We want to start with the truth is available. We're going to secondly talk about the truth is absolute. Third, we're going to talk about the truth cannot be broken. And hopefully we'll have time to talk about the truth is unchangeable. All of those are true. Let's start with the truth is available. You know, many people believe that truth is ever changing. You ever talk to people about truth in the world? When you start trying to talk to them about what's right and wrong and what's true, they think that it can change. That it doesn't always mean what it once did. That this Bible was fine for 2,000 years ago, but it's not fine today. That's wrong. By the way, God, when he spoke, knew how to communicate to us, and he communicated to us in such a way that we would understand and be able to apply it. And it's applicable in all generations. God knew how to do that. Others ignore that truth exists, and mostly because it's not in harmony with their beliefs. I hear this one quite a bit. Well, I just think. Well, God wants me to be happy. Well, I just believe. Well, listen, that's not how it works. God doesn't start this book by saying, listen, here's my rules, unless you disagree. And then go ahead and there's some pages in the back, write in what you would like it to say. That's not how it works. And there's no company in the world or no family in the world that operates that way. Although a lot of people in modern society think that we should. That's called humanism, by the way. Humanism is defined as any system of thought or action based on the nature, dignity, interests, or ideals of man. What I think is important, how I feel, which is what our modern society goes by. Well, you hurt my feelings. You know what? It's okay to hurt your feelings if you're wrong. It's okay for me to stop you from doing something that's harmful. Long time ago, we were living on Byron Avenue, and we had people over from the church, and we were playing basketball in the parking lot. Well, not the parking lot, the driveway. And like most homes in Odessa, we all decided to build our driveways on a slope. But we built them all on a slope. So when you're playing basketball, where does the ball go? To the street. And here goes little Brenna, 3, 4, 5 years old, something like that. And the ball goes into the street. She's going to go help her brother, takes off running to the street. And here comes a car. And I yelled, Brenna, stop. And you know what she did? She stopped. And some of the parents who were there, who are also members of the church, were kind of amazed. They were like, how do you get her to do that? Because when I tell her to stop and she doesn't, I paddle her behind. That's how. And by the way, I'm going to give a lecture in a few weeks in College Station about this very subject of raising boys and things that need to be done. One section of my lesson is on discipline. The church and the Bible teach disciplining your children, whether the world likes it or not. Well, our society today says just the opposite. Don't get onto that child. Let them do what they want. Really? And get run over and killed? That's got to be the stupidest thing I ever heard. Let a kid do what they want. Let them be who they want to be. Give them a sex change at 5 years old. Listen, I know we know this. There's a lot of 25, 35, 45, 55-year-old people who still don't know what they want to do with their life, let alone a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old. It's silly. This is silly. But that's what this world is telling people today. And if you say anything against it, you're a bad person. Folks, that's humanism. Humanism is not spiritually right. There's also a phrase called hedonism. That's called self-indulgent pursuit of pleasures as a way of life. Hedonism, self-indulgence. It's hedonism. It's wickedness. The truth is available, but we don't want it. Self-gratification is the ultimate goal of the humanist. Nothing is false except the concept of truth being a standard that's acceptable conduct. So when we say marriage is between one man and one woman for life, with the exception of putting away the guilty party in who has committed adultery, we are standing opposed to this idea of self-gratification, hedonism, and humanism. The truth to the humanist is whatever makes him happy. And folks, even if we have to do something we don't like to do, if God asks us to do it, we need to do it. Because that's what he said. We have to be faithful. Truth is available, but often we don't want it. Number two, truth is absolute. But the truth is absolute. For anything to be absolute, it also must be objective. Now, there's a difference between objective and subjective. Objectivity demands that there's a standard where a measurement can be made. We can all agree on it. It's measurable. It's attainable. We can see it. We can examine it. The evidence is clear. It requires our understanding of something being right or wrong. Truth exists, and something is either true or false, and it cannot be both. Usually I illustrate it this way when people say, yeah, but. Yeah, but means no. It does not mean yes. So, did you take out the trash? Yes, well, except for the bathroom. The answer is no, you did not take out the trash. You did not complete the assignment. Did you change the oil in the car? Well, yes, I did. You did, yes. I took all the oil out. I didn't put any new oil in. Then you didn't change the oil in the car. Folks, it's either true or it's false. It cannot be both. So we have to have objectivity. The proper understanding of truth is essential to reasoning. We want us to reason. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Faulty reasoning has resulted in all kinds of erroneous views, such as evolution, things like humanism, and all kinds of error that's in the world. Let me just mention evolution. There's a lady who has a channel that I watch pretty regular. She rides a motorcycle around the world. Her channel's called Itchy Boots. And she's very entertaining. She's a geologist. And part of it is, I like to watch because she tells all about the rocks and the dirt and all the stuff she goes through. And I disagree with her about half the time. But she's very entertaining. She's a geologist from somewhere in North Europe. But anyway, she's riding through South Africa right now, and there's a famous dig over there outside of one of the biggest towns there in South Africa. It's a famous archaeological find. It's full of bones. And there's bones from a bear, and there's bones from people, and there's bones from elephants, and all different kinds of animals all in this one spot. And what they will say is, so many millions of years ago, this was a ocean or lake and all these areas around here, instead of the desert like it is now, were lush green vegetation. See, we're destroying the world. This is not what it is. You know what happened? There was this thing called the flood that rained and rained and rained for 40 days and 40 nights. It covered the world to 15 cubits above the highest mountain. And then all that rain went away a little over a year. A year and a month and 10 days, I think it is, Noah went out of the ark. But a little over a year, this stuff. And you know what happened to all the animals that breathe there? They drowned. And when they drowned and the water went down, you know where all the animal carcasses went? They would go down with the water. And in this area where water settled in a pool, there were a whole bunch of bones. By the way, that is just like the area you live in right now. It's full of residue from the flood. It's part of the reason why oil is so rich in this part of the world. It's why the Grand Canyon is the way it is, and so on and so forth. But because objectivity isn't there, and a belief that there is not a God, when I see the evidence, I have to come up with some reason rather than looking at the reason that's laid out in evidence. You see, I believe what I want to believe. Truth is an absolute. That's their idea, but truth is absolute. They desire to avoid facing the truth, so they come up with a conclusion that nothing is absolute. Therefore, the proponents push, instead of objectivity, they push subjectivity. And what that means is there is no absolute. And the thing is, it puts them in a situation where they're trapped, because they have to claim there are no absolutes, which is an absolute in and of itself. They've used something they say that is not true to say something else is not true. It's absolutely true that there is no absolute. No, it's a contradiction. So, folks, the truth is absolute. God has laid it out. It is finite. It's there. We can know it. Number 3, truth cannot be broken. John 10:34, the scriptures cannot be broken. If somebody is in an argument with you and they're defeating you because you don't know the word, that's not the scripture's fault. Probably a lot of times people have asked us questions we couldn't answer. That's not the scripture's fault. That's our fault. Now, you don't need to beat yourself up for it. When you come to a situation like that, you say, you know what? That's a great question. You know what? Let me go put some evidence together and some scriptures together, and we'll talk about this later. Would Tuesday night or Thursday be better? They say Thursday. Say, great. 7 o'clock be fine, or would you rather do it at 8? You know, that way you definitely get a meeting again. And when you do that, you go back with all the evidence because you go home and study the question. See, that a lot of times we feel whipped, like we don't know the answer, and that means there's something left unsaid. No, probably the Bible teaches on it, but we have to learn how to do that. The scriptures cannot be broken. If a statement is true, nothing can alter its meaning. A fact is either true or false. It cannot be both, and it cannot be neither. So when we see the scriptures, we have to stand with that. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we don't have time to go into it deeply, but it teaches us a couple of things. It talks about the truth and godliness, and also the fact that God cannot lie. Truth is presented as being godly, and lies are presented as being a contrast to godliness. So truth and something being not true are contradictory. Truth and a lie are contradictory. It can only be one or the other. Now, in John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my doctrine, if you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And in verse 33, they said, hey, we're Abraham's seed. Who are you to tell us we have to do this? We're already part of the saved. We're Abraham's seed. And Jesus had to explain to them, if you were of Abraham's seed, you would do what Abraham would do. And what Abraham would do would be obey me. That's what Abraham would do, which is slapping them in the face with the truth. And so he tells them in verse 44, of a truth, you are of your father, the devil, and he's a father of lies from the beginning. He's a liar, and you're following a liar. If you were following Abraham, you would be obeying me, because this is the truth. Do you think they liked it? Of course they didn't like it. But he had to show them that there is no truth in the devil, because he's a liar. Those who abide in the truth do not lie. Truth and lies contrast each other. The scriptures and truth cannot be broken. Number four, what is truth? Well, truth is something that does not change. And denominations try to prove otherwise. So they claim things change with time. I don't care who it is, the Southern Baptist Convention or the United Methodists. I don't know if you've been paying attention to them lately. Huge split going on because one group's bringing in women as preachers and homosexuals as ordained ministers, both of which are false. But other places, Catholics, all kinds of places have conventions, conferences, synods, councils, meetings, and so on. And they vote on what is and what is not accepted for that year. And then they come back the next year and they vote again. None of us have the ability to determine what's right and wrong in Scripture. God has already determined it. It is not changeable. And what an arrogant man who thinks he can change God's word. When God's word is presented, we're the ones that are supposed to change. We don't change God's word. You remember in the Old Testament talking about taking the pen knife to the word and cutting out the parts you don't like? We want to do whatever we want to do, and nobody's going to tell us otherwise, not even God himself. But the fact of the matter is, scriptures do not change. Unfortunately, some of our own brethren are in this camp. The Bible is what it has always been and it will always be. It will not end. It will last with or without us. It will endure until the day of judgment. And it will judge us based on how we've lived. John 12, 48, Revelation chapter 20. But a hallmark of denomination is division. You know that, right? So a denomination, if I were to say I have some denominations of money here, that's a 20. That's a 1. That's a 5. Those are all bills. They're all currency. These are divisions. These are denominations. So a denomination claims that they're all the same. They're all bills. They're all money. They're all the same. And yet each one holds to a different set of rules. One believes one thing, one believes another, and they'll even argue with each other over those rules. And yet they try to say they're all unified and we're all one. We're on different paths, but they all lead to God. No, Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14 says there's only one path that leads to God. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said he is the only path to God. There is no other way. And yet these denominations claim that they can be unified even though they are separate. That's not true. That's not true. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 through 13 said there to be no divisions among you. And he even illustrates it. Some say I'm of Paul or Peter or Christos or... No, we're all of Christ Jesus our Lord. John 17, 20 and 21. Jesus prayed that we all might be one. And John 15, 1 through 7 says we have to be vines on his branch and produce a fruit in order to be a part of the kingdom. And if we don't, we're going to be cut off and burned up. Listen, the truth is not something that can be divided. It does not change. The fact of the matter is God's truth is laid out in Scripture, and any deviation from it is sin and will cost us our souls.
Thank you so much for listening to Take Aim.